The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 35. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James chapter 2. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you would pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, oh, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. You are not the rich ones who oppress you, the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. From there Jesus arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. They begged him to lay his hands on him. Taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened. His tongue was released. And he spoke plainly, and Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. James 2, verse 1. So way back in the 1900s, the 1990s to be exact, There was a sitcom that stands, boys and girls that are younger, that stands for situational comedy, a television show that you had to watch TV, right, weekly to watch. It was a comedy called Seinfeld. And of course, Jerry Seinfeld is the star of his own show, Seinfeld. Well, the character that Jerry played, which is loosely based on himself, the character, though, was pretty much the epitome of what I would call shallowness. In fact, all the characters on that show, if you go back and you watch it, all the characters on that show, extremely shallow people. Yet episode after episode, Jerry's shallowness is the one that always would come bubbling up and take center stage. For example, we would often see Jerry going out on dates with women who are far, far out of his league. He had no business being with these ladies. But yet, at one after another, he would have some imperfection that annoyed him so much in these ladies, these women, some imperfection that he just would have to break it off. He's that shallow. One had the annoying habit of finishing his sentences. One liked a television commercial that he didn't like. One had man hands. And one was actually too perfect, which is just annoying. And so he had to break it off. You see, people can be very shallow. Shallow people. And as a comedian, Jerry Seinfeld, he is able to recognize this shallowness that all mankind has in their heart. And he turns it into comedic gold. But he recognizes something there, right? We all have this. Anyone who has ever gone through middle school knows what this shallowness is like. Kids can be so mean to each other, can't they? In their immaturity, kids judge their peers based on the externals. Maybe this kid looks a little weird or is a bit nerdy. Maybe this one's a bit overweight. Maybe this one's got bad acne. Maybe this kid's parents don't have a lot of money, so he can't afford the cool haircut and the ridiculously overpriced Nike sweatshirt that every single one of them has. People can be shallow, but hopefully people mature after junior high. Experience and maturity should teach us that there is far more to life than what middle school children think is cool or popular. For example, it's quite possible that the high school football star ends up cleaning toilets for a company owned by that nerdy kid that he picked on all those years. It happens. People can be so shallow. Still, even in the adult, as they're supposed to mature, people can be so shallow. And if we're honest, we find this same middle school Jerry Seinfeld shallowness within each one of us. So a moment ago, I just said, hopefully experience and maturity teaches us to not be so shallow. Well, just as there is physical and emotional maturity, there's also a thing called spiritual maturity. You should also mature in your faith. You should grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of Christ crucified for you and what that means. And you should grow and learn in his word as you study and are encouraged through his word. But sadly, when it comes to being mature in the faith, so often we all remain childish, junior high-ish, you could say. And certainly none of us this side of heaven is going to perfectly mature. And that's because in this life, each one of us carries with us the rotting flesh of sin. The rotting corpse of sin that we all drag behind us, that is immature and it is childish. It loves to show partiality. Loves it. It loves to objectify others. It loves to decipher whether I'll get something out of this person. Will I be included in maybe the popular club or the good-looking club or the wealthy club or whatever it might be? What can I get out of this person? And like Seinfeld, our sinful flesh gets annoyed. And it scoffs at even the slightest imperfection of our brother or sister in Christ, while ignoring our own. And that, dear believers in Jesus Christ, that is actually the way of the world. That is the way of the sinful flesh. That is the way of selfishness. Perhaps, hopefully not, hopefully it is not the case for our junior high students, but that's the way of junior high. I hope it's not. I hope you have a wonderful school year, but it can be. That's not the way of Christ. That is not the way of Christ's church. James chapter 2 says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." And then he gives an example. "For if a man comes in, he's wearing a gold ring and fine clothing, he comes into your assembly," right? He's a rich man, he's probably of some repute, but a poor man also in shabby clothing, he comes in and you say to the rich man, "Oh, you, sir, you sit here in this place." But to the poor you say, "You stand over there. You could sit at my feet." Have you not made distinctions amongst yourselves and become judges? And what does he say? With evil thoughts. The way of the world, the way of the sinful flesh, evil thoughts. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin. You are sinning. And you are convicted by the law as a transgressor. Whoever keeps the whole law but fails at one point, even this point, is accountable to all of it. So a person mature in the faith takes these words to heart. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and dead on the cross for sinners, that is the great equalizer. Because, of course, we all are sinners. And we all have that partiality in our heart. But Jesus dying for you, that's the great equalizer. All are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished. All of it is done on account of Christ. So God shows no partiality. He does it for all. So since our bridegroom shows no partiality, the bride also, the church, also shows no partiality. Just as Christ, your head, is not of this world, you are not of this world. Therefore, as you mature and you grow in Christ and in his word, you learn to reject the ways of the world. You learn to reject the sinful flesh. You start seeing people as God sees them. Not by what we can get out of them or what they're going to contribute to us, like their money or their prestige or whatever else, but what ultimately can be given to them, which is, of course, grace, the forgiveness of sins won for them in Jesus Christ, and the faith to believe the promises of God. As the world continues its downhill path, as many of us are seeing this happen, I think a lot of us are, we're waking up. We're waking up and we are seeing just how weird we Christians truly are, at least in the sight of the world. That's how the world sees us. We are strange. We are aliens living in a foreign land, weird people who refuse to bow to the world's craziness, insanity, and lies. And that's because we hold, as Christians, to a higher truth, a divine truth, a truth that the unbelieving world cannot see, cannot believe. Guess what? The world out there already thinks you're weird. So what? So what? What does it matter? James says, God has chosen you who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to you who love him. God has chosen to separate you from that world, from the unbelieving world, to make you one of his forgiven, loved, cherished, sanctified children. You are rich in faith. You are heirs of the kingdom. It is all yours, for you have Christ. And if that makes you weird in the eyes of the world, then so what? I say go ahead and own it and be weird. You know, there will come a time in this world or in the next when this world's middle school madness will come to an end. Like the Tower of Babel, there will be a time where all of the godless things that men have foolishly erected in their own honor, in their own might, all of these things will come crashing down. In the meantime, forgiven, sanctified, mature, and shaped by God's word, we, Christians, we simply are to remain faithful with what we confess with our mouth, what we say in word, but also in deed. Faithful in word and deed. James concludes then the epistle reading. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister poorly clothed comes in and is lacking daily food, and one of you says to him, oh, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Of course, it's a rhetorical question. It's not good. It's of zero value. So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, oh, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith apart from works. I will show you my faith by my works. Faith, even in its infancy, a small faith, faith is alive. It is not dead. It cannot be dead. It's impossible. True faith, therefore, does good works. It helps. It helps the brother or sister in need. It clothes. It visits. It feeds. It welcomes. It loves. It loves. Of course, we're not talking here about salvation by works, right? Salvation is completely a gift given to you by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection on your account as your substitute. In that, we rest with the assurance that in Christ, we have righteousness, and all of our sins are covered in Christ, including the sin of partiality. It's all covered. We then are freed in Christ. We're freed from God's wrath and his punishment against all of those sins. We are freed from the guilt of those sins. And we are freed from worrying about having to placate God or appease God of whether we're doing enough. In Christ, now we are free. We are completely free to do what? To love and serve our neighbor. Faith and love. James says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Well, how do you show your faith? Well, by being weird, according to the world's standards. By not acting like the rest of the world, the shallow, immature, middle school world. By not showing partiality. By not treating other people differently based on external things, like their height or weight or how many followers or subscribers they have, or their wealth, or their good looks or lack thereof, etc. All of it so shallow. Shallow. Being mature in the faith that is strengthened and secure in Christ, in his life, his death, his resurrection as your substitute, you refuse to let that childish, sinful flesh rule over you. First, by hearing about the forgiveness of sins he won for you and receiving that forgiveness, his life, his salvation for you. And then, loving others as he has commanded, faith and love. Growing mature in Christ, we read in Scripture how external things like looks and money or whatever, that didn't matter to Jesus. And our gospel reading is a wonderful account of this. We see a beautiful example there where Jesus loves a Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile, and her daughter, and casts out the demons. He does it. He cares for her. And the man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, he heals. He cares. He loves. And ultimately, this is a deep love, right? Not shallow, deep. This deep love that Christ has for all people leads him eventually to the cross, where he will lay down his life, saving all of them. No partiality, he saves them all, including you. And then, as Christians, that's then how we see other people, with this deep love, not shallow, deep love. We see them as Christ sees them. Every single man, woman, child that you meet, no matter what they look like externally, no matter what they look like to your eyes, this is a poor person, this is a soul for whom Christ died, and he wants to be with them for eternity. Little children, loved by God, love one another. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.